Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. It tells about the coming of the Holy Spirit and Peter addressing the crowd. You'll find it on page 119 of your Bible in the pews. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I am glad you are here today. Good to see you. Good job with those names, Sarah. I've known liturgists who steer away from Pentecost Sunday so they don't have to deal with all those names of places. It's a powerful reading, isn't it? Especially that last part where Joel is, you know, giving us these images of how when love comes in its fullness, the whole creation will know and show it. I've been thinking lately about time here and realizing that this summer will mark my 12th year as a pastor here at Central United Methodist Church. Pastor Chris this will mark his 10th year here at Central, and I think I can speak on behalf of both of us that we certainly feel blessed to be able to serve here and serve with you, to serve here in this community of Traverse City. It's been a blessing. But I name that this morning because I've been thinking about what it is that keeps a person motivated, what keeps a person energized for work for the long haul, you know? What keeps us involved and interested? Think about your work and how that works for you, how that plays out for you. What is it that does that for us? Maybe it's a sense of accomplishment in our work, in our life, recognition, making a difference, opportunities to be creative, having freedom in our work. Maybe it's a sense of vocation, that what we're doing is what we're supposed to do, you know, and a good feeling about that. Maybe it's a sense of responsibility to those that we care for, responsibility to family, providing for family. Lots of reasons. Maybe you're too young to retire. That's why you keep working. I don't know. All of that can figure into the equation. But for those of us who see work and life as an opportunity to serve God and to serve our neighbor, there's something more. And particularly, my friends, there is something more for those who follow Jesus and try to be his disciple and walk in his way. That something more I want to say to you today is knowing and is claiming for ourselves that our lives, our life story is lived out in the context of this much greater story that is going on in the universe. It's a story that tells us who we are and what we're all about. See, what I'm talking about is being part of God's big story. Yeah, that's the story we read about in Scripture. We heard a part of that tale today. But it's also a story that's being written every day. It's a story written today through our lives, through the lives of all who claim that for their lives. It's a story we have a role in completing as we live out its vision and as we live out its values every day. In other words, it's a living story. It's a living story. Well, what is that story? Let me remind you. It's the story of how in the beginning our Creator God not only set this heaven and earth and all of life in motion, but also how God started it all with an end in mind, with a certain end in mind, that all creation would move continually with momentum toward this glorious goal of perfect love and complete communion with God, toward a unity and a wholeness of everything. In other words, this story is one of sacred movement, holy movement. All things moving toward perfect love. So, you know, I said a moment ago that I've been thinking about motivation for life and work, what keeps us going for the long haul. And in part because I'll be 60 years old in January, okay? And to be honest with you, I've been feeling like a need for some, you know, just some new imagination and some inspiration for this last quarter of productive quarter of my life, you know, these next 5 years of ministry. And I got to say, this week I found what I was looking for. I found what I was looking for. And my hope today is that you'll find some of it too for your life's work, for your walk with Christ for the long haul. That you will find it as you constantly buy into this story that we have a leading role in. Well, let's bring the scripture into this morning. Today's reading, it's a part of this bigger story, as I mentioned. And particularly, it's a story that tells us about how God is at work and is bringing about the fulfillment of creation. And the word that we use, the word Scripture uses to speak of that is Spirit and Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the presence and power of God at work in creation. And what we hear today is that the same Spirit of God that brooded over the chaos at the beginning of creation and the Spirit of God that called prophets to comfort and both confront God's people about their evil. The same Spirit that alighted on Jesus and named him Son of God and called him that spirited, empowered one for ministry. That same God poured out Holy Spirit upon those followers of Jesus in Jerusalem. You see, following his death, the disciples of Jesus, they continued to experience his presence with them. Let's try to get our heads around this one. It's a tough one. They continued to experience his presence with them. They experienced him, as we say, resurrected. And that is a hard one to get our heads around, isn't it? So maybe the best thing to do is stick with the heart, because then we can, I think we can grasp it better. We can bring it in and experience it better. And that truth that God continues to come, continues to empower Christ followers today, does so today for you and I as well. And so that makes this story that we heard from Acts one that's filled with hope, I think, one filled with power for today. So the story opens, and the disciples that are huddled together at home, they're kind of afraid. They're figuring out what Jesus' death means, and they're grappling with that, and at the same time trying to be open to this experience of his persistent, lingering presence with them. And in one of those moments, they experience Jesus. They hear him say, "You will receive power to be my witnesses. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be witnesses," and he says, "in Jerusalem," which means at home. He says, "in Judea," which means the lands out beyond Jerusalem. He says, "in Samaria," which means the people that you don't like and they don't like you very well. "And as well to the ends of the earth," which means places you can't even imagine. And so as you hear in today's reading, what was promised come shortly thereafter in this dramatic, mind-boggling way. All Jerusalem celebrating the harvest festival of Pentecost. Visitors there are there from surrounding cities. It's like Cherry Festival with a Jewish twist, okay? Busy, busy, busy day. And in the middle of it all, the disciples experience an outpouring of God's Spirit on them. It says they begin to speak in languages as the Spirit gave them ability, other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Again, trying to get hard around that. I wonder if it's kind of like this. Mother's Day, last Sunday, I took Debbie and a couple of our young adult children out for Mother's Day meal at one of the China buffets on South Airport. You know, I hadn't been to a China buffet for a while, but I was ready. I wore my loose pants, you know, so I could eat a few plates, and was psyched up for that. But when we got there and we pulled into the parking lot, I could just hear music blaring. I couldn't tell where it was coming from. And we stepped out of the car and realized that the music was coming from the TC Latino grocery store across the road. And there was a mariachi band there out in front of the store. And they were just kicking out this wonderful music, and people are kind of hanging out in front of the store, and some are, you know, by their cars and under the shade of trees, and at least a couple dozen people there. And as I listened to that, you know, I realized I couldn't understand the words because I don't speak Spanish, but I could understand the language. I could understand the language. I could tell by the sound of that music. I could tell by the relaxed kind of playfulness of the people listening, even about how the music made me feel, that those were beautiful words being sung. Those are heartfelt words being sung. What I'm trying to say here is I like to think that the gift given of Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost and still given today to church is this ability to speak in a way that others can hear in their hearts. Gift of Holy Spirit, witnessing to the love of Christ, whether it's 2,000 years ago or today, it's this gift of empowering us to speak the language of love, communicate heart to heart. That gift of hearing deeply joys and concerns and sadnesses, hopes and dreams of neighbors, even enemies. The gift of taking that love, that's the text says, taking that love to people where they are. And as well as the text says, the gift of speaking of new dreams and offering new visions, watching for fresh signs of God breaking into the story of our lives with God's story. I think this is the hope and motivation you and I need to keep being witnesses to the love of Jesus. God has put it on us to finish love's redeeming work. And today's the day to re-up. Today's the day to re-up for that, to be part of that story that never gets old, never gets outdated by something new. You know, yesterday I got up at 7 a.m. and I immediately got sucked into the royal wedding. I turned the TV on, not knowing it was going to be there, to see what was going on for a few minutes. And there it was, Prince Harry, Meghan Markle at the Windsor Castle being married there in London. And while I've really not been into the hype of this whole thing, really don't really do that part of it, but, you know, as one who does a lot of weddings, I have to say, that was a beautiful ceremony. Beautiful ceremony. But, you know, my favorite part of the whole thing was the sermon given by the bishop, Michael Curry, from he's the first African-American bishop in the Episcopal Church in USA, and he's there preaching, and he tried his hardest to get those stone-faced Brits to act like they were enjoying themselves and having a good time, but no, to no avail. Everybody's got their traditions. But he said some beautiful things, you know. He said there's power in love. Love can help and heal when nothing else can. There's power in love to lift up and liberate when nothing else can. And then he quoted the philosopher, theologian, scientist D. Chardin. He's talking about how the discovery of fire changed everything and continues to change everything about human life. And he says, someday then, after mastering the winds and the waves and the tides and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love. And then for a second time in the history of the world, humanity will have discovered fire. Wow. You know, in other words, when we give ourselves to discovering, fully to discovering love's power, life will be revolutionized. Christians are called, you and I are called to be on the forefront of this discovery, seeing new visions, dreaming new dreams, living it out in new ways, this inexhaustible power. And I think, my friends, when the church has been at its best, that's what we've been about. That's our calling. I want to share for a few moments the dream and vision I've had here for Central Church, something that's been stirring in me, a fresh expression of what it means to be neighbor as a church, to be neighbor to our neighborhood, to the community around us, the Traverse City area around us. As I wrote in my blog this month, and thank you for those who wrote some comments about that, you know, Central Church is a spirit-filled, vital, what I would call attractional ministry. We have offered for 50 years just transformational opportunities out of this building for people to experience the love of God and have their lives changed. Central Church also has, and I say this because I have neighbors who tell me this, you know, we're known as a church who makes a difference in the community. Doing good, you know, we have open doors and we're striving to serve community. I think you are a living testimony to the Spirit of God at work and your openness to that. But here's the thing, and I think good old Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost would agree with me. For every person who is attracted to church, there's another who has no interest, and of those, half are done with it. And the other have never had any interest or connection. And so the question that arises at this point in life and history is, do we have a responsibility to that 40, 50% of our neighbors? And the answer is, yes. Yes, we do, don't we? And I would say furthermore, too, that you know, you who come to church and you who are part of living out faith through Christian community, you want to be a part of a church that makes a difference, don't you? You want to be a part of a church that's out in the neighborhood. I think about our mission motto. We've had it for at least a dozen years. Together in Christ, reaching beyond our doors. Or it says on the back of our building, together reaching, right? Together reaching. Now here's my question for you. Because I think we do a good job with the together part. But I think God is calling us in this direction of reaching. What would it look like over the next decade if we devoted more of our resources to that reaching side of ministry? I think the time is ripe for us to focus on this. You know, as Pastor Chris mentioned, our denomination is in a time of discernment about, you know, the general church, about how we will welcome, how we will be in ministry with our gay neighbors, our gay members, and a year down the road here, we may have some opportunities here at Central to make some decisions about that. And, you know, my hope is that we can be more inclusive all along the way. But having said that, even though there's discernment going on in the bigger church, what I want you to know is that our Methodist mission, it doesn't change, right? It's not going to change. It's not going to change. That need for the transformational love of Jesus Christ is greater than ever. So I want to implore you today. I want to implore you today as church, as those who live in the neighborhoods around us, to re-up, recommit in new ways to being the best neighbor Jesus style that you and I can be. How do we do that? Well, who's our neighbor, right? Who's our neighbor, friends? You know, families of all shapes and sizes, neighbors who own businesses in town and people who work there, they're our neighbors. Our neighbors include a jail and inmates and police officers. Our neighbors include a courthouse with those trying to navigate the legal system. And as well, those who are struggling, as mentioned in ministries like JFON, to figure out a way to be here and to live life here. Our neighbors include fellow churches, a post office, some grade schools with children and teachers and administrators, a variety of charitable organizations. I think even maybe our neighbors include a marijuana dispensary over there. I mean, I don't know if that's still there or not, but they were one of our neighbors. Along those lines, too, our neighbors include addiction treatment centers, right? Dukoski Hall over here. You know, our neighbors include those who are happy and well-fed and housed and those who are hurting and hungry and homeless. Our neighbors include tourists who walk our streets. Oh, and let's not forget our neighbors include the river and the bay and the beauty of this world, this natural world around us. The list goes on, right? It goes on. And I'm thinking, you know, you're aware of some neighbors as well. But it becomes more defined, too. It goes deeper, I think. And maybe that's the point. We're grounded here. And so how do we live out this calling in 2018 to be this neighborhood church, to be grounded, to put down roots here for our neighbors? Today, friends, the good news has to be seen. It has to be seen. The message of Pentecost, it is that we've been born anew. And that we're continually born anew into this great big love story by the Spirit of a living God who is always calling us to our place and time. Be the church. Go to, neighbor. And so I want to ask you today to join me, join Leaders of Central, to dream some dreams and imagine some new expressions of that. What does it look like for Central Church to be the best neighbor Jesus style that we can be? In what practical ways can we as downtown church witness, in other words, show the love of Jesus Christ to our neighbors? I hope you'll prayerfully consider that. And a good way to respond is even to go to my blog and write out some things that you're thinking and praying about. Blessings, neighbor. Amen.